Welcome to episode 24 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. So, I'm back in the comfort of the office now, having had, let's say, an interesting time up at Keswick Mountain Festival, which you guys heard me preparing for in last week's show. In this week's show, I'm reflecting on my activities there and talking about the importance of looking after your kit as I reconditioned my walking boots, which got rather battered whilst walking up Scarfell Pike. In other news, it's been a busy old time online since I've been back. Among other things, I've updated the blog, and you guys should definitely check out especially the piece discussing the use of filters and my thoughts about why photographers shouldn't turn to them in the hope of simply saving poorly thought out pictures. The Active Photographer also has a new Facebook page as of this week, and I'll be sharing information and links to all the content posted on theactivephotographer.com through this site. Details about this are coming up at the end of the show. So let's crack on with things. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 24. It's the week following the Keswick Mountain Festival, and I'm sat outside my back door at home, and I'm just attending to my walking boots, which are in a bit of a bad way. I want to tell you guys a bit about the Mountain Festival, what happened, or rather, what didn't happen. But before I get into that, I just want to tell you, or share a few thoughts about looking after your kit. Now, what I've got here are some full leather walking boots. There's some brassiere boots, which I've had for a long time. In my activities at the Mountain Festival, I actually did manage to go, despite a few factors, did manage to walk up Scarfell Pike, which is just over 3,000 feet. The walk we took was an 8-mile hike. The actual distance, that's the full journey route, we actually, in terms of distance, I'm told that it was the equivalent that day of actually going up Ben Nevis as well. So quite a bit of a hike. But if you've ever gone up Scarfell, as I now know, you'll know that it's pretty rocky and pretty unforgiving. So what I've got here, I've got my full leather boots, these old brassiere boots, and I've actually got some Nick Wax brand leather waterproofing wax, and I've just trying this new one out. Actually, it's not new, but it's new to me in that it comes in, it has like a sponge applicator, which you actually, I don't know if you'll pick up on this, I've got the toe of the boot here, and you just squeeze the tube and sort of rub it in, and what you have to do is just work it in either with that or with your fingers, so I'll do that in a minute. But just while I do this, I want to kind of share a few thoughts, I guess, about looking after your kit. Now, my equipment, as you guys, if you listen regularly, will know, it goes through a lot of sort of wear and tear. I do look after my kit, but equally there are some occasions where you can't help what happens to it. These boots are properly scuffed all around. The leather is kind of scuffed and torn in places. When it comes to outdoor equipment as well as photography equipment, I suppose it's one of those things. People often wonder about the cost of these things and think that things are really expensive, but it kind of stands to reason, surely, that if you do spend, say, I don't know, £100, let's say, on a pair of walking boots, or £1,000 or £800, whatever, on a camera, you kind of want to look after it and make sure that it's in as best condition as it can be. So what do I do? Well, as I say, this is the week that follows on from the Mountain Festival. I've had a bit of a sort of a busy sort of follow-on week, one reason or another. So I haven't had a chance to do this sooner. But before I head out anywhere else with these boots, I want to make sure that they are reconditioned, so that all the scratches and the scuffs and everything in the leather are taken care of. So I'm just making sure I'm going around all these areas, trying to fill in any gaps, reproof, just get the wax into those gaps, so that they're a Gore-Tex walking boot, so I don't want any water to be coming in along any seams. I want to make sure that everything is kind of as it should be. When it comes to camera equipment, of course. You guys know, as I've mentioned many times, that I'm a big fan of Pelican cases, the old Peli cases. Those are tough cases, and they're really good. But of course, once your camera is taken out of those, you then have to think about how you're going to protect your camera. So you're going to be looking at things like waterproof cases, waterproof pouches, waterproof covers, that sort of thing. And there are huge sort of quantities on the market that you can get. Some are better than others. I've tried a few of them. Some of them you can tell within 5 minutes of taking them out of the packet that they're actually not going to be as good as you might think or as you might like. But let's assume that you do generally look after your cameras and you do care for them. You want to make sure that you're cleaning the sensor regularly, and I'm guilty as anyone on this. I probably could do it more often than I do. But equally, if there's no specks appearing in your pictures, there's no dust marks or anything, then that's all you need to know. You don't have to worry about going over the top about cleaning your sensor. When you do that, what do I do? Well, you can get the kits where you have like a swab, and that involves using a bit of this sort of solution which goes on the swab. You have to be really careful that you don't overdo it, otherwise you just get lots of moisture therefore on your sensor. Or you can just use a blower brush, that sort of thing. Those work pretty well. One thing that I'm always aware of is that, you know, you could do it yourself and you could save some money by doing it yourself, but is it a false economy? Because I've done it in the past. I remember going back sometime when I had, well, I still do have it, but when I was constantly using my Nikon D2H, I needed to clean the camera quickly, so I went ahead and used a water, like a solution, alcohol solution based cleaning set. And what happened, long story short, was that I didn't manage to get all the residue off, and it just made a mess. I ended up basically taking the camera to Nikon with my head between my tail between my legs, whatever the expression is, and saying to them, can you please professionally clean it? What I do now as a result of that is if I need to quickly clean my sensor, if I need to quickly clean my sensor, then I will plug it in to the mains battery, the mains pack, and then what you are supposed to do then is, let's give this a good old buff here, you plug it in, and then it means that you don't have any static charge coming sort of through the camera while you're cleaning. I've just noticed there's a studio cat. Hello, Sox. Those of you that don't know, studio cat, we have two cats here. We have office cat and studio cat. Office cat is the black one, and studio cat is a very fluffy little thing. What are you doing, mate? He doesn't seem too impressed by my my waffling and boot cleaning activities. But yeah, what you do, basically, you plug your camera in and you have to set it to a particular setting, and that allows you to lift up the mirror of the camera, and it means that you don't have the static charge, because the static charge will attract the dust. That's the way to do it. In an absolute emergency, as I sometimes do, you don't have that power pack with you, so what you do, you just set it to that setting anyway, and if you're careful, you just use a blower brush sort of thing, and that's how you get around it. So I personally now, I have a guy locally that I will take my cameras to, and I will leave it in his capable care, and he does a fantastic job. Doesn't charge much to do each camera body. If you guys are within my area in Hampshire and you would like to know who this is, and if you know, if you're local and you want your cameras taken to them, I will happily share his details with you. So just get in touch, giles@theactivephotographer.com. But yeah, that's what I do. It takes all the worry out of it. It's sort of, I know that it's going to be done professionally, going to be done well, and that's it. So that's cameras. You know, that's at the end of the day, your camera is your main tool. So you want to make sure that your cameras are in tip-top condition. Professional cameras have good seals on them. They keep out dust and dirt and mostly water. You guys know that I've seen waves go over my cameras in the past and they still work, so that's something to be said for that, I guess. Now, when it comes to sort of other equipment, I treat all my other kit just the same way as my cameras, because they need to keep going in all weathers and all conditions. So what I'm doing with my boots, as I've said, I've just got this wax. That's basically one boot that's done, and I've got to say, these boots are absolutely messed up at the front end and around the back. I've done as much as I can to apply this wax to try and seal off some of this raw leather that's on there. But I can feel that feels really nice. Just given it a final buff, and that is about as much as I can do on that boot. So I'll just move on to the other one. Now, the Keswick Mountain Festival itself, and in fact, actually, while I do this, I have a mixed agenda here, because what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be actually writing a review for these for this Nick Wax that I'm testing out here. I've used Nick Wax for a long time. I used to work in an outdoor shop when I was at school and at college. I used to sell that stuff, so I know it's very good. But I'm just going to do, basically, I've got two boots alongside, and what I'm going to do is I've just got my little Canon G9 set up on a tripod ready, just f8, it's on a tripod, so there's no camera shake, 2 second delay, that's giving me a sixth of a second because it's fairly dark under here, and we'll just let that go, and that's done. So that's just sort of a before and after shot, so that's out the way. What was I saying? I've lost my train of thought now as a result of that. Oh yes, the Keswick Mountain Festival. I had a bit of a funny old event in the end. I went up there fine, and as I said, you guys know that I had lots of big ideas about shots I was going to take, audio I was going to record, I was going to be podcasting, talking to people, maybe getting some interviews. Well, the festival itself was just covered, like it almost didn't stop raining the whole time. The first day I went up there, it was pretty fine, went down to the main site and had a look at where all the marquees and sort of stands, that sort of thing, were going to be. It's only in its fourth year, so there wasn't a lot to see, which is, you know, it's fair enough. It's going to grow. But if you're going to the Mountain Festival, you're going to be there for the events, not necessarily just to go and expect to see lots of stalls and things. So you're going to have things like canoeing, kayaking, climbing, sort of Nordic walking. I think there was even some yoga classes that were being led and all this sort of thing. For me, as you guys will remember from what I was saying last week, in last week's show, I was going up there thinking that I was going to be going walking, climbing, and kayaking or canoeing. So, first day I get up there, and that was okay. Settled in and had a little look around, went and had dinner because I got there sort of in the afternoon. That was all okay, that was fine, settled in, looking forward to the next day. The next day I helped some people set up one of their marquees, because there was nothing actually going on. I was not due to do any particular events for a day or so. So I thought, you know, as I'm here, may as well help. So that was fine. That evening I got invited to a dinner by a company that makes 100% or near enough 100% wool socks, sort of walking socks and Sort of every day socks, but essentially they are sort of technical, active everyday socks, if that makes sense, as opposed to just like your cotton sort of £5 for £5 in a pack sort of thing. So that was fine. It was really nice, really nice people. So I've got a few things, a few more items that I'm going to be testing out and having a look at. But then, and this is where it all started to go wrong. Then we kind of get to sort of middle of the evening, something around about sort of, well, sort of 9 o'clock, something like that. And that's when I kind of thought, oh, I don't feel completely right. So let's keep this, spare the details. Let's just say I had to go and use the toilets. And long story short, did that and was very, very ill all through the night, waking up every hour, needing to do the same. And it basically meant that the next day, when I was supposed to be walking up this 8 mile route going up a 3,000 foot mountainside, I was feeling properly rough. I actually only had a piece of toast that morning because I just felt so ill. And it got to a point where I was just about to make a call to say, look, do you know what, I won't be on that walk because it wouldn't be sensible to do it and I feel terrible and what have you. And then somehow, I don't know, maybe your body just kind of, or nature kicks in, something just kind of, all of a sudden I felt a heck of a lot better. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go for this walk because I've been wanting to for some years. And I would have felt really disappointed, really let down by myself, even though I know technically it wasn't my fault if I wasn't feeling up to it. I would have just felt I'd let myself down. So I got a lift to where the start of the route was, and long story short, I got back at 6:30 in the evening, having been out on the hill all day, and we had rain and hail and terrific winds and what have you. And yeah, I ended up climbing Scarfell, and I feel really good about that because, you know, I sort of persevered, saw it through. But as a result, I just said to myself, right, the next day, that probably wasn't the most wise decision. I'm going to give myself a recovery day. So that's exactly what I did. I just kind of went into town. Keswick itself actually has, I believe, I'm right in saying 23, count them, 23 outdoor shops, which it's not a huge town. So if you've ever been there, you'll know exactly what it's like. It's incredible. I swear, you can't actually buy a normal shirt. If you just wanted a normal dress shirt to go out in the evening, you can't. You have to have one with an outdoor brand on it. For someone like me who loves the outdoors, then it's kind of like you feel as though all your Christmases have come at once. So I had a recovery day, had a little wander around. Went and met up with the Aquapack guys, you know, that I talk about their stuff quite a lot. Went and had a chat with them, see what they've got going on there. Got a few more bits and bobs to try out and what have you. And then that was that. So then the next day I thought, okay, well, I'm going to have a recovery day, be sensible about it, and then see what the next day brings. And the next day it was fantastic, actually. We went canoeing. We went across Derwent Water. And then we went up, I forget the name of it, but one of the rivers that's there. And that was really nice. The weather was, again, horrible. It was, we started off when we all kind of met up by the lake side, by the water's edge. It was, someone was measuring the velocity of the wind, and it was actually blowing up on shore at 35 miles an hour. So that was kind of what we were facing. In fact, there was another team of people that were planning to go out that day, and they just basically looked at us and our guides and they said, no, we're not doing it. We want to go back to our hotel, or we want to go and sit in the pub or whatever. So that's what they did. So we basically had the whole of this area, this place, the the river that we went on, had it all for ourselves, and it was really nice. The weather was terrible, but it was actually really nice to, you know, as an experience, because I've been kayaking before, but I've not been canoeing. Obviously we've all kind of seen the likes of Ray Mears on TV, and we've all watched programs and I don't know whether you guys in the States, you can tell me how big is Ray Mears as a name over there, because I know that Bear Grylls is a, you know, he's a big name. He's kind of done Oprah's show and he's done all this sort of thing. But I wonder how big Ray Mears is over there. But yes, I've kind of seen all of these programs, and you know, you can't just, a bit like photography, you can't just look at it on TV or in a book. You need to actually do it. And that was all right. So that kind of saved my week in the end, doing that canoe trip. So, you know, all in, not a complete wasted journey. Made some good contacts and sort of had a mostly good time. Tested out some kit. I didn't actually, unfortunately, get to record any audio. The weather was so bad, and that combined with my sort of failing health on that day meant that I didn't actually get to take any pictures. I mean, I took some snaps through waterproof cases as I was going along, like in the around the place and going sort of up the river and what have you. Oh, the second day when I got there, once I'd helped set up this stall, we did actually go for a walk around, and that was really nice. We got a few, the weather was fine and what have you, but no, it was unfortunately, I'm sorry, I haven't got any more content to share with you guys, because I really had high hopes for the event, and it was only a mixture of, well, nature in its various forms, both sort of human and and the weather that kind of got in the way of everything. So that was a bit of a shame, but not to worry, these things happen, and yeah, I'll be going again next year. I'm looking forward to it. But as a result, what I'm going to be sharing with you guys to do with that festival is not going to be anything, unfortunately, more content rich, other than there'll be stuff on the activephotographer.com, sort of on the blog there. You'll see sort of like essentially a report, and I'm sure there'll be some sort of spin-off articles that are talking about I don't know, really. Sort of let me know if there's something that you want to hear that you can think of as a spin-off from that. I mean, talking about sort of equipment maybe, and getting your stuff ready for facing the elements, or maybe making the most of a bad situation, getting some sort of, you know, it's one of those things. If I was actually on commission and I'd been asked to go there to actually shoot pictures, then we would have worked around it, but one thing or another just didn't sort of happen. Two things that were very good were I took in two lectures, two speakers, one of which was Ray Mears, and he was fantastic. I was a little bit tentative because you know what it's like. You see, you know, you get the chance to see or meet someone that you admire, whose work you've seen and you like their philosophies, their approach, that sort of thing. And you just think, look, please be nice. Please don't be big-headed. Just don't let me down. And he didn't. His delivery, the content that he was sharing was very good. It was very thoughtful, as you might imagine. And so that was really good. So that was a really good talk. And I also got to see a guy called Alistair Lee, who is a top climbing filmmaker and photographer. You can check out the link in the show notes. But well worth seeing. So one of those, I managed to get the complimentary tickets for that, and one of them I actually paid full whack to go and see. But of course, you know, say it was worth it. That was the Ray Mears one. That was well worth it. I'd easily pay that again. But yeah, so that's been my kind of experience of the Keswick Mountain Festival 2011. And back to the here and now. And today I am just going to take another shot just of these boots now that they are done. Let's just line this up again. Same setup. It's f8 on the tripod. We're looking at 1 second because the light has dropped. So it's on the timer, leave that. There we go. And that is just about it. So hopefully that rambling, talking about my my trip away and sort of how to look after your kit, I guess, and all the rest of it. Yeah, that's given you some more content, hasn't it? It wasn't ideal. I'm just sort of trying to fill the gap because we've got a load of other content lined up for you guys, but I was rather hoping to slip something else a bit more exciting, a bit more sort of out on location, out on the hill type stuff for you, but didn't quite work. But I will be in this next week recording some stuff while I am out and about up a hillside, down by the water, that sort of thing. So, you know, we just make the most of these situations. I've also got a rather exciting delivery still due to come. Should have come by now, so hopefully it's going to be coming through this next week. And yeah, I cannot wait, absolutely cannot wait to share that with you guys. And that's just about it, I reckon. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to pack up these odds and ends and get out the laptop, prepare a bit more content, and get on with my follow-on week from Keswick. So, as I say, anything that you want to hear more about what I've just talked about, and say, any of you guys in anywhere other than the UK, if you can tell me whether Ray Mears is as big a name in the outdoor wilderness survival world as he is in this country, then do let me know, because I'd really be interested to hear, you know, just what an impact he's made on other countries. So, not everything went to plan in the Lake District then, but it was certainly worth the trip, and I'll look forward to going again next year. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget, of course, I'm on Twitter, at Giles Babbage. You can now check out the all-new Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.